John chapter 8. We're going to talk about did truth set you free? We are continuing a study in the book of John. We are going to finish chapter 8 today. And one of the things that we have seen already throughout the book of John is that there is a distinguishing characteristic taking place of Jesus trying to get those who are listening him to understand that there is a huge difference between the physical and the spiritual. And if you already get that difference, then it can be frustrating thinking about these Jews who are the chosen people of God, and what Jesus is trying to get across to them that they're not getting. They are so focused on the physical, and Jesus is trying to get them to focus on the spiritual. When I was a kid, I used to hear preachers say that many people will miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between your head and your heart. And they would talk about the fact that many people know about God or Jesus, but they don't truly know God. They don't trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They don't understand the full impact of allowing him to be Lord of your heart, allowing him to be truly Lord of your life. It's one thing to know about him, it's another thing to live for him. We just said that in the verses that we are memorizing, and we'll look at those more in depth this morning. So my prayer is this morning that each of us, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, whether you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you've been walking and trusting him for a long, long time, that you and I both we'll trust him in the spiritual realm more than we trust him in the physical realm. One of the challenges that we have in this life is that everything we live in is the physical. And so it's sometimes a struggle for us to focus on the spiritual when we live in the physical. And so I hope that we'll give a little bit of grace to these that Jesus is dealing with, but at the same time, we'll take this to heart as well as we go through these verses together. So join me in John chapter 8. I'm going to start this morning in verse 31. I'm going to read through verse 47 to get us started. John 8, beginning in verse 31, God's word says, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. So again, Jesus is trying to emphasize to them, and they're arguing with him over this physical versus spiritual reality. Jesus wants them to experience in its fullness the spiritual reality that God has to offer to each of us. It's an eternal reality that lasts forever. There is no end to it. But what these Jews are trying to wrestle with and grab a hold of is that they have been taught the Word of God. Many of them know it backwards and forwards, especially the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day. They know the Word. That's not the issue. The issue is that they are not allowing the Word of God, God's truth, to dictate their lives in the freedom that Jesus Christ has said that God has come to offer and that Jesus has come to make a reality. They're living in the physical, that we have to do certain things in a certain way at certain times with certain people and exclude others because we're the race that God chose, which is true. God chose the Jews, but God did not choose the Jews to make them better than other people. God did not choose the Jewish race to be better than other people. He chose them to be his people to demonstrate his power and his relationship with them to the rest of the world and ultimately to bring Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, through them. He did not make them greater than anybody else. But they have a hard time of grabbing that because their physical reality in their minds supersedes what God has in store for them, which is not what God has. So look with me again at verse 31. I know many of you are working on memorizing these. Sometimes you've got to memorize it before you can start to think about it. But I want you to see what he's saying here. He says to them, he was saying to those Jews who had believed him. What does that mean? That means that there were some Jews who had trusted and believed, given their whole life spiritually to Jesus. They believed that he was the Messiah. Now, he hasn't died on a cross yet, but they are trusting him. And we've seen throughout the book of John already that when Jesus spoke, when he taught, there were people who were amazed and overwhelmed because not only did he speak as one having authority, but he also spoke as one who related them to a closer relationship to the Lord. It was almost like, in their minds, that the Lord was speaking to them, which he is. But in their physical reality, he's not the Lord, he's just a guy. But what we have the benefit of knowing is that he is the Lord, he is Jesus Christ, he is God, and he is speaking to them. That's why they're enthralled with him. And so there are some who are coming to believe in him, and he says to those, you've come to believe in me, now stay there. Abide in my word, because his word is true. It's always and forever true. And he says, if you abide in my word, that's conditional. You have to remain there. You have to stay in his word, in his truth. Not only do you have to believe it, you have to buy in, you have to trust him. If he's your Savior and your Lord, then you are living that out. And that's what Jesus says to them. If you abide, that means you're there, you're remaining there long term. Nothing's going to sway you from that. You are then remain in him, then you are truly disciples or followers of his. Again, in the physical versus the spiritual, physical means wherever he goes, I'm gonna go. Spiritual is, not only is my head, but my heart is involved. Many of you, like our teenagers, have been to a youth camp or had some kind of spiritual high experience. The reality is that it doesn't last if it's just physical. If it's just physical, then it's gonna go away. But if we make it about our heart and it becomes a spiritual reality, we abide in the truth of God. Why did they have a spiritual high of a week? Because they spent time in the Word of God. They spent time with one another doing like things. They spent time encouraging one another and having people pray for them that were there and that were here. They were able to be away from the responsibilities or the other things that they have going on here. The physical reality was good, but the spiritual reality is so much better when their hearts come back and they stay right, they abide, they remain in the Word. Can they every day do what they did at camp? No. Some of them have school. Some of them have jobs. Some of them have other responsibilities. Some of them have to catch up on their sleep. Those things are important. The reality is, though, that the spiritual becomes more than the physical when we allow God to work in and through us, just like Jesus is trying to do with these. Notice what else he says in verse 32. He says, those disciples, those people who are following him, are truly disciples of him, his. Not just people following him, but people who are becoming like him. That's the difference. There are people who can follow him around and listen to him and even be healed. And that's amazing. But if you truly want to be a disciple of his, then you're becoming like him. That's completely different than just following him around. And that's what he's asking of all of us. If you're truly a disciple, then you're trying every day to be like him. And he says, when you do, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is truth? Truth is what actually happens in the past, the present, and the future. Jesus is the only one who knows all of that. Your Bible and mine says he was there at creation. He's been around since before the existence of time. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always existed. And they always will exist. And now Jesus is offering a relationship to God through Jesus for us to experience freedom. What is freedom? Freedom means you're set free from sin. He says it here. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does remain. Who's the slave? Verse 34, he says it. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Sin has power over you. Not just the temptation, that can be powerful, but the sin. If you resist the temptation, that's not sin. But if you give in to the temptation, that means you are a slave to sin. And if you've ever given in to sin, then you're a slave. The reality is that if you and I want to live in the spiritual, then we've got to allow Christ to set us free. And he's the only one who can set you free from your sin, because he's the only one who lived in this life and lived a sinless life. The Bible says he was tempted in every way that you and I are, yet he was without sin. He's the one who died on a cross for your sins and mine. He's the one who sets you free. And if you're free, as Jesus says here, then you're truly free. You see, Jesus does what the Father says, but they're limited in their minds by what Abraham does. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring." That's what their answer is to everything. We're Jews. We get to do what we want. God chose us. He didn't choose anybody else. They're missing the point because they're looking at the physical instead of the spiritual. They're saying, look, we've never been enslaved to anyone. Who do you think they're answering to now? They're answering to the Roman authorities. They would have already put Jesus to death if they had the opportunity, but the Roman authorities who rule over them right now are the ones who have total control. The Jews live under the authority of the Romans. They're definitely enslaved. Their relatives lived in Egypt for 400 years. They were slaves. But see, that doesn't matter, because that's not the physical reality that they're dealing in with right now. In their minds, they think they're free, but Jesus is telling them spiritually, you're not free. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 8. Paul said it this way to the church in Rome. This is it. It is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. It doesn't matter who you're physically linked to. He's telling them. What matters is that they belong to the Father. He also reminds them, Abraham, even though he's the big deal in their world because he's the father of the nation of Israel, he obeyed God by faith. He didn't have the word to follow. He didn't have the law to follow. He obeyed God and did what God told him to. And because of that, the nation of Israel was born. Verse 41. They believe God is their father, but they don't really truly believe. They don't understand. Again, they're thinking in the physical, not in the spiritual. I have the privilege of working with some prisoners. Some of you have that opportunity as well. There are guys who are in prison, rightfully so, for the crimes that they've committed, that are more free than some of us who live outside of the walls of a prison. Because they've found Jesus Christ, they're never getting out of prison, many of them that we work with. But they're more free in the spiritual realm than you and I are, and we live outside of the walls of the prison because they've yielded their lives to the total control of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit giving them guidance every day. But some of us still struggle with the same things that these guys are struggling with. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Doesn't matter how much you know, it matters who you believe in. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. Nowhere in there does it say only the Jews. Are the Jews God's chosen? Absolutely. He chose them. Of all the races in the world, he chose them to reveal himself. He chose them. But he's even telling them through Jesus, they must believe that Jesus Christ is born of God, and that whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him, loves Jesus. It's all about Christ. It's not about their legacy of who they came from. Guess what? Your grandmother can't get you into heaven. I don't care how much she prayed for you. She can't get you in. Your father, he can't get you in. I don't care what kind of connections he has. Your child can't get you in. The only way you can get into heaven is by believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's not going to ask you when you get there, who is your lineage? Who's your family? For some of us, that's a good thing. Because it's not about the lineage. It's about your relationship with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's trying to get these religious leaders to understand. It's not how much scripture they know. It's who they know. It's whether they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, telling us the same thing. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus says to them in verse 44, you're believing your father, the devil. He said, you're not believing Abraham. You're not living like him. He lived by faith. He trusted God. He lived in the spiritual, not just the physical. Remember when he took his only son, Isaac? Was ready to sacrifice him because God told him to. He did that by faith in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, God released him from that bondage and provided another sacrifice because it was a test. He says, Jesus says here to these religious leaders, your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. In other words, quit living in the physical. Understand that the spiritual has more to offer you. Let's finish this chapter starting in verse 48. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You see again what they're trying to do, focus on the physical. Jesus is trying to get them to focus on the spiritual. They even try in verse 48 to demean his race. They say that he's a Samaritan. He's not a Samaritan. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born to Jewish parents. Samaritans are from Samaria. They're a mixed race. The Jews aren't supposed to even associate with them. They're saying that he's got a demon in him. You see, if they say that, then they're hoping that the people who listen to them will stay away from him, whether it's true or not. It doesn't matter what they say on the news. What matters is what's true. And he says that you can demean me all you want, but I want you to understand I do not, he says in verse 49, have a demon. But I honor my Father even though you dishonor me. In other words, I don't care what you say about me, I'm still going to honor my Father. I'm here to bring him glory. He's the one who will glorify me on the cross. Now, we have the benefit of looking back and knowing what's going to happen. They didn't have that benefit. They just want rid of him because he's messing up their physical reality by trying to help them understand a spiritual truth. He even says in verse 51, if anyone obeys his word, you will never see death. Now, that messes up their physical reality because the prophets have died. Abraham has died. Those who God has used in their lives, those who gave them the word of God, have all died. So how in the world can somebody not die? So they try to use that against him. And he says, look, you believe in death. But what I have to offer you is greater than that. You see, verse 53, he explains to them, he didn't come to declare his own greatness. He came to make the Father great. He doesn't care whether anybody recognizes him or not. It's about the Father. Jesus even says in verse 55, you think you know the Father, but you don't. I came from the Father. He's the one who sent me. You don't even know him. What are you talking about? You see, again, they're living in their physical reality, their physical perception that does not match up with the reality of who God is. He even says that they don't understand even who Abraham is. He even says to them, your hero, your father, verse 56, Abraham, he rejoiced to see when I came. In other words, we've been hanging out together and he knew it was going to happen. We've been in heaven together. And here comes Abraham. I knew all about Abraham, and then he sees me and he was glad when I came. In their physical reality, they said, wait a minute. You're not even 50 years old yet, which is true. How in the world could you have seen Abraham? He came hundreds of years before us. And Jesus drops the mic and he says to them, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Exodus 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or I am. He just said to them, I am God. That's how I know who Abraham is. That's how I know he's glad that I came. You see, I'm God. There are people who say, Jesus never claimed to be God. You missed verse 58. Jesus just said, I am. Colossians 2, verse 9 helps us understand this even a little better. It says, for in him, Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus says, I am Christ. I am the Father. I am the Son. I am the Holy Spirit. I am God. Verse 59, they embraced him and fell at his feet. Not a chance. They took up stones. The stones weren't a remembrance. The stones were to kill him. But it says he hid. That means he somehow became invisible, not like a ghost, but he just disappeared. He left the temple because it was not his time to be put to death. If you and I want more Jesus in our lives, then we have to allow ourselves to experience true freedom spiritually. We have to learn to trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus said it in the verses that we're memorizing. If you remain in me, then you are truly disciples of mine. In other words, if you're trying to become more like Christ, then you're not only a follower, but you're a disciple. If you just know who he is, if you can quote a couple of scriptures, good for you. That doesn't get you into heaven. If you can tell people where to find the books of the Bible, good for you. If you can say, I come to church every single Sunday, good for you. None of that gets you in because that's all physical reality. Jesus cares whether your heart belongs to him or not. That's what matters. It's the spiritual that matters. You can't experience true freedom if you're still living in sin, because you're a slave to sin, is what Jesus just told them. The religious leaders of the day, he just told them. You can't believe the lies of the devil and then defend them too. You have to come to a point of trusting that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Unfortunately for some of these Jewish leaders, they're going to see Jesus crucified on a cross. They're going to see him buried in a tomb. Some of these people that we're looking at in John chapter 8, they're going to see that he rose from the dead. Some of them may even be some of the 500 that see him, yet some of them still won't believe. You and I say, well, if he'd just appear to me, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. You'd still have questions. And guess what? Not all of your questions are going to ever be all answered in this life. You still have to trust him. If you want to experience true freedom, he's the only one who can give it to you. The world can't. And notice again, if we want more Jesus, not believing him means death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. He said, as we saw in the earlier verses, if you believe in me, you will never experience death. He's not talking about physical. Remember, we've already made that clear. He's addressing the spiritual reality. Sin separates us. We are slaves to sin. He comes to set us free from that. Remember, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's what he's offering us. Death, physical death that doesn't lead to spiritual death, but spiritual eternity with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit in their fullness. Not believing him means death. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that the spiritual is so much more important than the physical. But God, we need your help with that. Maybe not everybody else listening to me, but I do. Too often I put my eyes and my mind on the physical, but my heart knows better. I need to trust Christ. I need to follow him fully, even if I don't understand it all, because it's not about me, it's about him. Father, don't let us be like the Jews, even the Jewish leaders who knew all the answers, because they knew your word. But Father, they didn't allow it to penetrate their hearts. They weren't living in the spiritual reality. They were living in their own physical perception of what reality should or shouldn't be. And they were missing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, standing in front of them. They picked up stones to try to kill him. Father, I'd like to think that I would have knelt at his feet, that I would have embraced him, that I would have emotionally thanked him and held on. Father, I hesitate and shudder to think that I might too have picked up a stone, thinking that he didn't know what he was talking about, thinking that my understanding of who he was greater than who he actually is. Father, forgive me for that. Help us all to lay down our stones and fall on our faces before him and embrace him, recognizing that he and he alone is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Help us lay down our physical perceptions and take up the spiritual reality, your truth, that Jesus Christ is the only one who saves. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.